Galactic Interstellar Council on Revolution Radio Studio A, Fridays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we traverse the starseed paradigm. As expressed in the time-space continuum that we know as the divine expression of love and light. Integrating this conscious unity into the galactic paradigm. So welcome all, both terrestrial beings and galactic beings as one. So be it. You're listening to Revolution Radio.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of whose program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Say worthy of your attention, and if you say otherwise, you are a paranoid conspiracy theorist and deserve to be shunned by all of humanity. Likewise, him, and her, and him. Osama bin Laden lived in a cave fortress in the hills of Afghanistan, but somehow got away. Then he was hiding out in Tora Bora, but somehow got away. Then he lived in Abbottabad for years, taunting the most comprehensive intelligence dragnet, employing the most sophisticated technology in the history of the world for a decade, releasing video after video with complete impunity and getting younger and younger as he did so, before finally being found in a daring SEAL team raid which wasn't recorded on video, in which he didn't resist or use his wife as a human shield, and in which these crack special forces operatives panicked and killed this unarmed man, supposedly the best source of intelligence about those dastardly terrorists on the entire planet. Then they dumped his body in the ocean before telling anyone about it. Then a couple dozen of that team's members died in a helicopter crash in Afghanistan. This is the story of 9/11, brought to you by the media which told you the hard truths about...
His head could be seen to move violently forward.
And...
They took the babies out of incubators.
And...
Mobile production facilities.
And...
The rescue of Jessica Lynch.
If you have any questions about this story, you are a batshit, paranoid, tinfoil, dog-abusing baby hater and will be reviled by everyone. If you love your country and or freedom, happiness, rainbows, rock and roll, puppy dogs, apple pie, and your grandma, you will never ever express doubts about any part of this story to anyone. Ever. This has been a public service announcement by the friends of the FBI, CIA, NSA, DIA, SEC, MSM, White House, NIST, and the 9/11 Commission. Because ignorance is strength.
Frankly, that's about as brilliant as it gets. I got to congratulate James Corbett. No one could do it as well as he just did. Makes me feel a bit better about how during the Alex Jones trial, where they'd seize my blog so no one could follow up on the attack they were about to launch, a producer for Alex was asked about a memo from James from Paul Watson to Alex Jones, where he said, we've got to stay as far as possible from that batshit crazy fetzer, taking the blog so no one could follow up and find out what that batshit crazy fetzer had to say about Sandy Hook, where my blog was a vast repository. It's back. I had to create a new one at jameshfetzer.org. But as I say, all this really good stuff about 9/11, you can find a lot of it on my BitChute channel, BitChute channel Jim Fetzer. Now, the one you may have heard, no one has ever heard of this guy. That was Barry Jennings. He was emergency management from New York City. He went to Building 7 up to Rudy Giuliani's command and control center, where he had two floors with its own air and water supply. He found half-eaten sandwiches, still steaming cups of coffee. A fireman came along and said, "We got to get you out of here." He heard explosions taking place in the building while he was there. A stairway fell out from under him. He felt himself stepping over dead bodies. When he got out, he gave interviews, that some of which you may still be able to find online. I mean, I'm telling you, Corbett did that so damn well. Honestly, I think I gotta play it again. This is just so, so good.
On the morning of September 11th, 2001, 19 men armed with box cutters, directed by a man on dialysis in a cave fortress halfway around the world, using a satellite phone and a laptop, directed the most sophisticated penetration of the most heavily defended airspace in the world, overpowering the passengers and the military combat trained pilots on four commercial aircraft before flying those planes wildly off course for over an hour without being molested by a single fighter interceptor. These 19 hijackers, devout religious fundamentalists who like to drink alcohol, snort cocaine, and live with pink-haired strippers, managed to knock down three buildings with two planes in New York, while in Washington, a pilot who couldn't handle a single-engine Cessna was able to fly a 757 in an 8,000-foot descending 270-degree corkscrew turn to come exactly level with the ground, hitting the Pentagon in the budget analyst office where DOD staffers were working on the mystery of the $2.3 trillion that Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld had announced missing from the Pentagon's coffers in a press conference the day before, on September 10th, 2001. Luckily, the news anchors knew who did it within minutes.
Osama bin Laden.
The pundits knew within hours.
Osama bin Laden.
The administration knew within the day.
Terrorists who committed these acts and those who harbor them.
And the evidence literally fell into the FBI's lap.
That a hijacker's passport was found blocks from the World Trade Center crash site, if you can believe that.
But for some reason, a bunch of crazy conspiracy theorists demanded an investigation into the greatest attack on American soil in history. That investigation was delayed, underfunded, set up to fail, a conflict of interest, and a cover-up from start to finish. It was based on testimony extracted through torture, the records of which were destroyed. It failed to mention the existence of WTC-7, Able Danger, PTEC, Sibel Edmonds, OBL and the CIA, and the drills of hijacked aircraft being flown into buildings that were being simulated at the precise same time that those events were actually happening. It was lied to by the Pentagon, the CIA, the Bush administration, and as for Bush and Cheney, well, no one knows what they told it because they testified in secret, off the record, not under oath, and behind closed doors. It didn't bother to look at who funded the attacks, because that question is ultimately of little practical significance. Still, the 9/11 Commission did brilliantly, answering all of the questions the public had, except most of the victims' family members' questions, and pinned blame on all the people responsible, although no one so much as lost their job, determining the attacks were
failure of imagination.
Because
nobody in our government, at least, and I don't think the prior government that could envision flying airplanes into buildings.
Except the Pentagon, FEMA, NORAD, and the NRO. The DIA destroyed 2.5 terabytes of data on Able Danger, but that's okay because it probably wasn't important. The SEC destroyed their records on the investigation into the insider trading before the attacks, but that's okay because destroying the records of the largest investigation in SEC history is just part of routine record keeping. NIST has classified the data that they used for their model of WTC-7's collapse, but that's okay because knowing how they made their model of the collapse would jeopardize public safety. The FBI has argued that all material related to their investigation of 9/11 should be kept secret from the public, but that's okay because the FBI probably has nothing to hide. This man never existed, nor is anything he had to say worthy of your attention, and if you say otherwise, you are a paranoid conspiracy theorist and deserve to be shunned by all of humanity. Likewise, him, and her, and her, and her, and him. Osama bin Laden lived in a cave fortress in the hills of Afghanistan, but somehow got away. Then he was hiding out in Tora Bora, but somehow got away. Then he lived in Abbottabad for years, taunting the most comprehensive intelligence dragnet employing the most sophisticated technology in the history of the world for a decade, releasing video after video with complete impunity and getting younger and younger as he did so, before finally being found in a daring SEAL team raid which wasn't recorded on video, in which he didn't resist or use his wife as a human shield, and in which these crack special forces operatives panicked and killed this unarmed man, supposedly the best source of intelligence about those dastardly terrorists on the entire planet. Then they dumped his body in the ocean before telling anyone about it. Then a couple dozen of that team's members died in a helicopter crash in Afghanistan. This is the story of 9/11, brought to you by the media, which told you the hard truths about
his head could be seen to move violently forward.
And
they took the babies out of incubators.
And
mobile production facilities.
And
the rescue of Jessica Lynch.
If you have any questions about this story, you are a batshit, paranoid, tinfoil, dog-abusing baby hater, and will be reviled by everyone. If you love your country and or freedom, happiness, rainbows, rock and roll, puppy dogs, apple pie, and your grandma, you will never ever express doubts about any part of this story to anyone. Ever. This has been a public service announcement by the Friends of the FBI, CIA, NSA, DIA, SEC, MSM, White House, NIST, and the 9/11 Commission. Because ignorance is strength.
I'll just tell you, it doesn't get any better than that. James Corbett just did a sensational summation. I mean, that is just as concise, as insightful as anything we could possibly have. I cannot begin to tell you how much I admire what he's done there. We've had revelations, by the way, right here in the USA about what's going on with the Trump business, the raid on Mar-a-Lago, the whole lot of it. It appears that as many as 50 Trump supporters are being subpoenaed. Steve Bannon speaking out about it. Looks completely outrageous. I think that the key to it has been identified. Let me review just a bit of the bidding here. We know even the mainstream media have targeted Biden for giving that polarizing speech flanked by U.S. Marines. We've gone through it, declaring the MAGA supporters to be enemies of the state, really describing them as traitors to the United States. We know the FBI doctored Mar-a-Lago photo, added their own documents to create a crime scene that did not actually exist. Alan Dershowitz has observed that the DOJ's suggestions for the master, or the special master, to sort through, which are opposed in principle, are eminently fair. While the Justice Department's special master recommendations are eminently fair compared to those of former President Trump's lawyers, legal expert Alan Dershowitz reported he hopes the ongoing battle doesn't move to weaken executive privilege. The DOJ didn't seem to be appealing everything. They are focusing on two things. Number one, the timing. They don't want to delay their investigation. They may very well win on that, says Dershowitz. Second, they focus more on executive privilege than he did on lawyer-client privilege. I hope they lose on the executive privilege because it would really destroy executive privilege to conclude that the current president could waive the executive privilege of a previous president. You know, Trump lawyers might have left Judge Cannon with little choice and to side with the DOJ special master selections. I think in the end, Dershowitz says, if she's smart, she'll pick the Justice Department recommendation and that'll give her cover against claims of partisanship. That would be the smart thing to do, and both the Justice Department recommendations seem eminently fair. Biden has rejected Trump's executive privilege claims. A battle reached beyond the FBI raid, according to Dershowitz. The Trump lawyers calling for a special master has been granted by Judge Cannon. The DOJ has done a focused job of challenging it. I think she was smart by giving each side an opportunity to nominate, and I think the Justice Department was smarter than the Trump team on this. They named people who seemed more suitable, including a judge, a woman judge, who'd previously been the special master in the former Trump attorney Michael Cohen case. Meanwhile, Tulsi is observing that the DOJ and the DHS and the IRS are being weaponized, blatantly weaponized against political opponents. Our democracy is in grave danger. Government institutions, from the DOJ, DHS to the IRS, are blatantly being weaponized against political opponents of those in power. Being punished by the state for dissenting or merely asking questions is a hallmark of a dictatorship. Tulsi's got it right. I think she's just sensational. She, of course, is really moving away from the Democrat Party toward the Republican. I would say today she'd probably be described as an independent. Many of you have heard me say, I think she'd make a terrific running mate for Donald Trump in 2024, bring a different perspective, real class to the office, high intelligence, broad background, military experience, unlike the flyweight who presently occupies the office. I've heard reports that Trump is thinking of a New York Congresswoman Stefanik, but I don't see where she can hold a candle to Tulsi Gabbard. Now, here's what looks like what's going on here. This is rather startling. Trump indictment imminent. Here's why. Biden's FBI just executed a 50-plus subpoena dragnet. And here we see a part of the DOJ subpoena, the DOJ, the actual subpoena is being issued. The deal is, and it's coming out on the Charlie Kirk show, for example, Steve Bannon explained how many are being subjected to subpoenas. We got a bombshell report, dozens of Trump allies raided or served subpoenas by the FBI coming from red state. We got a woman attorney, Harmet Dillon, on with Tucker, explained that dozens of Trump supporters are being raided by the FBI, where several of her own clients were included. We got the New York Times reporting two top Trump political aides among those subpoenaed in the January 6th case, Stephen Miller, senior policy advisor, and Brian Jack, who served in the White House political director, among those who received requests for information from a federal grand jury. Here's more important now. Brian Jack, the final White House political director under Mr. Trump, and Stephen Miller, Mr. Trump's top speechwriter and a senior policy advisor, were among more than a dozen people connected to the former president to receive subpoenas from a federal grand jury this week. The subpoenas seek information in connection with the Save America Political Action Committee and the plan to submit slates of electors pledged to Mr. Trump from swing states that were won by Joseph R. Biden in the 2020 election. Mr. Trump and his allies promoted the idea that competing slates of electors would justify blocking or delaying certification of Mr. Biden's Electoral College win during the joint session of Congress on January 6, 2021. Now, remember, this is coming from the New York Times, which is very slanted to the left. We had massive evidence from scratch about the theft of the election. Those of us who were watching were just dumbfounded when the count of the election was interrupted and everyone was told to go home for hours, during which they were adjusting the vote because even though they rigged it for Biden, Trump was still winning. So they had to stop and make an adjustment and then set the algorithm. So after when we came back, Biden suddenly had taken the lead after lagging the entire evening. He would now maintain a very narrow lead right to the bitter end, right? Well, this whole business about the alternative electors was because in many states there was concern over the theft of the election. And the proposal was to send two slates of electors to the Electoral College on January 6th, where Mike Pence ought to have sent them back when he was confronted with slates, competing slates of electors to the state legislatures to determine which are the appropriate electors. He should have done that. He did not do that. And now it appears what they're doing is, by virtue of working to create these slates of electors, they want to invoke this clause of the 14th Amendment, Section 3, no person shall be a senator or representative in Congress or elector of president, vice president, or hold any office, civil or military, under the United States or under any state who, having previously taken an oath as a member of Congress or as an officer of the United States or as a member of any state legislature or as an executive or judicial officer of any state to support the Constitution of the United States, shall have engaged in insurrection or rebellion against the same, or given aid or comfort to the enemies thereof. But Congress, may by a vote of 2/3 of each house, removes such disability. They're using the alternative slate of electors to be the wedge to deny Trump the ability to run for office again. It's now very clear what's been going on. And this report, I think, is sensational. I think it's right on the target, right on the spot, and that it's extremely concerning, because once again, we have this massive weaponization of the, in this case, you know, of the government, of the Department of Justice, of the FBI. And of course, the New York Times and all the media endlessly report about Trump's allegations of the theft of the election, that they're false. This is described as a big lie. Well, man, I have done, and I'm sure many of you have done, and you're all well aware, there's no big lie here. Mike Lindell had a 3-day marathon where he presented proof after proof of how this whole matter, how the election had been stolen. We have, in addition, the 2,000 mules from Dinesh D'Souza, where the mules were those who were stuffing these drop boxes in the middle of the night, and they were being paid $10 a ballot, where Mark Zuckerberg put up something like $410 million. Now, $10 a ballot for $410 million translates into 41 million fake ballots. The theft of the election was on that order. Sidney Powell released an electoral map before they manipulated all the numbers, and it showed the United States was red from coast to coast. As I had been predicting, both California and Minnesota, when we had all the George Floyd fiasco, went Republican. In fact, he had earned 410 electoral votes. I mean, the turnout for Biden was pathetic. No one gave a damn about Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. No one cared whatsoever. It was obvious. He was incompetent. She was a nitwit. They had a dual appearance in Phoenix not long before, just 2 days before the election. And the number who turned out to watch Joe Biden and Kamala Harris together, zero, zero. Zip, nada, not a one. This is just so embarrassing beyond belief. The theft of this election, and it's just like 9/11. Just as Carbon described it, if you challenge the authenticity of the election of 2020, just as in the case of 9/11, then you're un-American, you don't like apple pie, you hate babies, you dislike your grandmother, you're un-American, and you're batshit crazy conspiracy theorists. That's what they're doing to us. They are clubbing us over the head for speaking the truth, for seeing the truth, for articulating the truth, for defending the truth. That is what America has come to in this day and age. It is appalling. I mean, beyond belief. So they're using the theft of the election now to convert anyone who challenges the election they stole so blatantly as being un-American, essentially a domestic terrorist. Take it from Biden. His speech was to provide the framework now for cracking down on all these Trump supporters, allies of Donald Trump, who are trying to figure out, scramble to find a way to redeem the election and make it honest. Back after this break. What a day.
Like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, This platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Hey, everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Amazon banned my book so you wouldn't learn what really happened at Sandy Hook. It was a FEMA drill presented as mass murder to promote gun control. Then they sued to shut me up, and the Wisconsin courts played along. I have the proof and the law on my side. What I don't have is the money. They want to do to us what they've already done to Canada. Take guns, impose tyranny. It's on the way with Remington's help. First insurance, then registration, then confiscation. I'm asking SCOTUS to stop it. GiveSendGo.com, funding Fetzer. Check it out. This is for all the marbles.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities. And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Revolution Radio every Wednesday 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
You know, I put up with a lot of static because of my defense of Donald Trump in spite of all of his flaws, and they're obvious and manifest. But I think there's a fundamental difference between Donald Trump and most of the, virtually all of the Washington establishment, which is this. Trump's not a liar. I mean, he may have said some things that were false. I think he was played over the vax. But I believe he sincerely believed them at the time. Now, of course, I grant you, I would like to see him repudiate the vax. I think the time has come for him to do that, and I'm troubled that he hasn't. But that's on the one hand. On the other, you have this humongous establishment that is nothing but the biggest liars and bullshitters in the history of the world. When Vladimir Putin gave his speech on the 24th of February, explaining the rationale for the Russian special military operation into Ukraine, he referred to the West as an empire of lies. Well, go back and think about it. Virtually every major event of American history in the last 50 years has been rooted in lies. Go all the way back to 1963, right? We're told Lee Harvey Oswald, the lone demented gunman, got off three lucky shots and killed the president of the United States and wounded the governor of Texas. That's what we were told. And yet it turns out, and there were some who knew at the time, and in fact, Harold Weisberg explained the Warren Commission staff was scrambling at the time to conceal the fact that Lee Harvey Oswald was standing in the doorway of the Texas School Book Depository at the time that the JFK motorcade passed by, and therefore cannot not only have been the lone demented gunman, he can't be one of the shooters where we've identified eight different shooters on the ground, for Christ's sake. Eight. And among the supervisors were George Herbert Walker Bush and Edward Lansdale. And the whole thing was run. The brain trust, the motivating force behind it was Lyndon Baines Johnson, aided and abetted by J. Edgar Hoover. I mean, how monstrous is that? And if you want another big lie that would succeed it, under Nixon as president, we had a whole succession of presidents who would never have occupied the office but for the assassination of JFK, because with high probability, had Jack not been assassinated, Bobby would have succeeded him, and then even perhaps Teddy. In fact, there were right-wingers at the time talking about a Kennedy dynasty. JFK would serve 8 years, and Bobby 8 years, and Teddy 8 years. To them, that was the horror of horrors. That was like the roadmap into purgatory for them, because they couldn't accomplish their evil aspirations, their exploitation of the American public for their own benefit, their personal benefit, because the Kennedys were actually dedicated to public service. They actually wanted to improve America. So they had to put an end to it. Big lie, huge lie. Then we had the moon landing. We didn't go to the moon. Give me an effing break. We didn't have the propulsion power to escape low Earth orbit. We didn't have the computer. I just got a new cell phone. I have more computing power in this cell phone I just got than they had to navigate all the way to the moon and back. And by the way, if we'd been able to get to the moon, we didn't have any fuel to get us back. I mean, the whole thing is so absurd. We couldn't have communicated from the moon. A guy in communications at the time said it would have required a van the size of a bread truck. Did you see any vans the size of a bread truck on the moon? Did you notice there was no delay? The communication between the astronauts and in Houston was just like they were having a conversation right here on Earth. No delay. My God, I'm telling you, the enormity of these lies. And you had one of the astronauts who came back and said, you know, when he was asked about the stars, it was just pitch blackness, which is absurd. There's no atmosphere on the moon. That meant there wouldn't be any twinkling because there was no refraction of the light, but it would have been blazed with billions of points of light. Billions. It would have been astounding, staggering, breathtaking. But as James Files, who claims to be the shooter on the grassy knoll, and I like this guy tremendously, but I believe he's playing a designated role, that he was not, in fact, one of the assassins of JFK, told me, once the government adopts a position, it's locked in, it can never change. And we've seen that about the moon landing. We've seen that about JFK. We've seen that about 9/11. But that, as I've also observed, means the government isn't rational with regard to the formation of beliefs, because rationality with regard to the formation of beliefs requires changing your conclusions when you have new evidence or alternative hypotheses. Once we know Lee Oswald was on the doorway of the book depository, we have to change our conclusion about who was responsible. He cannot have done it. Once we know we didn't have the propulsion power to escape low Earth orbit, we have to change our conclusion. We cannot have gone to the moon. But of course, the government's not going to allow that. Why? Because the government was involved. Take 9/11. Again, I say, Corbett, how brilliant can you get? I know of nothing comparable to that 5 minutes as an absolutely stunning summation of the deception of 9/11. I could not have done that. I know no one else in the world who could have done it. That's just absolutely sensational. But it shows everything we've been told about 9/11 is a lie. Every goddamn word of it is a lie. All of it. All of it. All of it. So what we have basically is a government that is predicated on this flimsy structure of lies that are aided and abetted and reinforced by massive threats to anyone who challenges it. Well, I'll tell you what. There was a guy in New York City on 9/11 who did an interview with a local TV station and explained how the builders who constructed the Twin Towers work for him now, and that there was no way that a Boeing aircraft could have penetrated those buildings, and that something else had to be involved. He even used the word bombs. And his name was Donald Trump. And what I'm telling you is, the establishment is going after Trump hammer and tong because Trump does not believe in the empire of lies, which we have ensconced right here in Washington, D.C. Donald Trump wants to get the truth out. Donald Trump wants a government to be responsive to the American people. Donald Trump has come up with a brilliant design how to eviscerate the deep state, which is this executive service element of the executive branch, where there's some 50,000 or more permanent employees who can't be affected, who remain from one administration to another and make all kinds of bureaucratic decisions that affect policy that is improper. And he's designed a solution to the problem called Schedule F. Schedule F creates a new arrangement within the government where the president has the opportunity to fire individuals to hold them responsible and give them the boot. Under civil service protections now as it stands, that cannot happen. And the deep state is with us forever, and he cannot drain the swamp. I'm telling you, this is why they're going after Donald Trump. I mean, think about it. I'm told often, again and again, by many callers here that there's no difference whether it's a Democrat and the Republican Party, that they're both sponsored by the same, they both represent the same interests. And I have said again and again, well, then, if Donald Trump is a part of this establishment, why not go with Donald Trump? Because he has the support of the American people, and then continue to work your evil designs on the country because he's just part of the overall plot. Which, of course, is contradicted by the fact they're going after him so massively. They scare him. They are shitting in their pants over Donald Trump. They are afraid, they are terrified that he might return as president of the United States. Why? Well, because now he knows enough to actually do the job. Remember, his greatest disadvantage coming in was he wasn't a member of a party. He really wasn't a Republican or a Democrat. He executed a hostile takeover of the Republican Party and turned it into a populist party. This is something the Democrats didn't see coming. The election in 2016 was rigged for Hillary all the way. As an expert in voter fraud has explained to me, if you're going to rig an election, you got to go where the votes are. Well, the votes are in the big cities. They rigged the election for Hillary all the way. They have phony polls. They're putting out phony polls now about Biden's popularity surging. Are you kidding me? Makes me want to vomit. Biden's popularity is surging. People wouldn't even piss on his grave. This guy is a nobody. This isn't even, so far as I can tell, the real Joe Biden. But even if it were the real Joe Biden, he's non-compass menace. He's a waste. He's a nobody. He's a nothing. He's just insignificant, but he's a puppet. He's a puppet. And Barack Obama, maybe Susan Rice, day-to-day, George Soros, the Rothschild, Nancy Pelosi's all in on this, by the way, all in on this. They're using him as a puppet to promote the interests. I say, if you think of George Soros as the acting president, I said you'll understand why from his first day in office, when he canceled the XL pipeline and repudiated permits to drill on federal land and thereby destroyed our energy independence, one of the great achievements of Donald Trump. You'll begin to appreciate why everything, the open borders, millions surging in, 4.9 million have come in the first 18 months of the Bush administration. 4.9 million. 4.9 million. Think about that. What's this going to do to the United States to have 4.9? A lot of these are young military, very fit young men, by the way, and I'm concerned that there's going to be a rear guard action when the time comes. They're going to be activated to take action against American civilians or distributed throughout the country. How the hell are we going to deal with that? How the hell are we going to deal with that? And what president in his right mind would allow this kind of threat to national security and allow 4.9 million illegal immigrants to flood the country? They aren't even being tested for COVID. Now, COVID's all phony. It's fake. But they're being utterly inconsistent. They're not even making the effort to keep the pretense. The pandemic was fake. In its bare bones, they took 38 million cases of the flu the year before and reclassified 37,998,000 as COVID. They used a phony test that wasn't designed for diagnosis, a PCR, but only to multiply a sample so it could be, and it was variable in speed at which it could be done, so it was easy to generate false positives. So 97-98% of the PCR test results were false positives, create this sense of a pandemic to instill fear into the population. No, there was no actual alteration in the death rate, by the way. We know this now. But you see, the damage occurs, they use it under the short term when you're apprehensive and you see these staggering numbers and this percentage of infections, and though people were not actually dying from COVID, they use it to justify the vax. And the vax, which isn't a bona fide vaccine, by the way, which is a tiny sample of a live virus to degenerate antibodies in the human body, it did nothing of the sort. So CDC even redefined what it meant to be a vaccine. I mean, I'm telling you, the lies, the deception, the deceit, the corruption is overwhelming, and it includes all of the agencies that we established to protect our health, the CDC, the FDA, the NIH, up to and through the World Health, all bought and sold by Big Pharma. So they won't even release the test results they had for their mRNA vaccine because it was killing everybody. Overwhelming majority, they tested on pregnant women. Overwhelming majority, they had miscarriages. They had abortions. They wanted that. It makes people sterile. It creates blood clots, brain damage. I mean, I'm telling you, this is the most horrific vaccine ever unleashed on the American people, this mRNA vaccine. And they've covered it up. They've covered it up. I mean, you talk about your big lies, your big lies. So the whole Washington establishment is in dread of Donald Trump for the very simple reason that Donald Trump, for all his flaws, doesn't believe in the bullshit. I mean, look at the balls the guy had. They're right on 9/11, see? He just spoke the truth. Planes can't have done it. Something else had to be involved, bombs. I mean, good God. And of course, you know, having commissions, that's what we do. to cover things up. I mean, FDR had a commission on Pearl Harbor, LBJ a commission on JFK, where the sole investigative agency was the FBI run by J. Edgar Hoover, who participated with Lyndon in orchestrating the assassination, meaning Lyndon made sure it took place, even sent his chief administrative assistant, Cliff Carter, down to Dallas to make sure all the arrangements for the assassination were in place, and then he used Edgar to cover it up. So when they transferred all the evidence from Dallas to Washington, D.C., which was an absurd idea in the first place, they subbed in a different Mannlicher Carcano that had actually been used to fire shots from the Dow text for the one found in the book depository, which was so decrepit, just disgusting. They subbed in a different gun than the revolver Lee had had, because it couldn't be responsible for the killing of Officer Tippett, who was actually shot by two different automatics. I mean, the way in which they manufactured all this is unbelievable, but they got away with it. They got away with it. They got away with it. And that's why they're emboldened to deceive us at an even greater scale. And right now they're doing it by orchestrating this horrific effort to deny Donald Trump the right to run because Trump, for all his flaws, has made a connection with the American people. He can sense it. I can sense it. Most of you can sense it. There's something about him that is right, that is authentic, that is genuine, that we don't have from other political figures in Washington, D.C., virtually without exception. You can name on the fingers of your hand Jim Jordan, good guy. Ron Johnson, Wisconsin, good guy. Rand Paul from Kentucky, pretty good guy. They're just a tiny number. I mean, you run out really fast when you start looking at the good guys who are trying to expose the truth. So, of course, Pelosi wouldn't allow Jim Jordan to be on the January 6th commission. Why? Because he would have exposed the charade, because there would have been cross-examination. None of the witnesses to the January 6th commission are being cross-examined. They're telling monstrous lies. Look at this woman who said Donald Trump tried to grab the steering wheel when they wouldn't go to the Capitol. Secret Service agents volunteered to come in and testify under oath that it hadn't happened. They're just making up this bullshit and letting it ride. Why? Because it's all political theater. Because they understood Henry Kissinger's point when he said the facts don't matter, only perceptions. And since they manage the mainstream media, I mean, remember, the Rothschilds own both the Associated Press and Reuters. And virtually every news outlet, apart from its local news, gets their national and international news from the AP and Reuters. And as I endlessly repeat, I have a composite of 100 executives from CNN, every one of which is a dual U.S.-Israeli citizen. Another composite of 100 executives from NBC, every one of whom is a dual U.S.-Israeli citizen. Another composite from the New York Times, every one of whom is a dual U.S.-Israeli citizen. I mean, it's disgusting. They are feeding us propaganda 24/7. It's a miracle any truth ever gets out. And frankly, if you read it in the newspapers, if it's about an important and controversial event, you can almost be certain that what they're telling you is false. I mean, look at the latest reports about 9/11. I mean, we've just gone through it. Look at your newspaper. What does it tell you about 9/11? I mean, there's as blatant example as you can have. But it's also true for JFK. It's also true for the moon landing. It's also true for Sandy Hook. I mean, it's just incredible. And again, they go after, you know, anyone who dares to speak the truth, anyone who does their effort to reveal what's actually going on. And most of all, they're after Donald Trump. And I do not know if they are going to go so far as to bring about a civil war. But I'm telling you, I think Americans are pretty sick of all of this. Pretty sick of all of this. And it's Nancy Pelosi's and the Chuck Schumer's of the world, and sad to say, aided and abetted in too many instances by Mitch McConnell. Kevin McCarthy's not quite as bad. But remember, it's really the establishment. It's not. Those who claim that, you know, the two parties are the same, when they talk about the establishment members of the party, that's pretty much correct, by and large. But look at Donald Trump. He's not of the establishment. This is what I have to hammer home. Donald Trump is not of the establishment. He was a new broom to sweep clean. He wants to drain the Trump. By God, he does want to do that. And I grant you, he effed up over the vax. He did. He effed up in a big way. I want him to come clean on the vax. He made other mistakes. Taking out General Soleimani, that was an act of treachery. I can't forgive him for that. But when you compare Donald Trump to the alternative, there's just no question about it. It's as clear cut. It's a no-brainer. But this is why I'm really upset when I get all these people trashing Trump again and again and again. Open your eyes, for God's sake. Look at what's going on here. Look who's being demonized. Look who's the subject of the weaponization of the DOJ and the FBI. It's Donald Trump. They fear him. They are scared shitless of Donald Trump because he actually intends to follow through. He intends to drain the swamp. If he had his way, we would already know everything there is to know about JFK and even, I dare say, 9/11. He knows better. He has been obstructed at every step, even to the point that the Attorney General, Bill Barr, has betrayed him and said why he thinks Trump is subject to indictment over the Mar-a-Lago raid, than which nothing could be further from the truth. This is just outrageous. He's been deceived and manipulated. They would meet with him in the Oval Office. He'd explain what he wanted them to do. They'd agree. They'd smile. They'd get out the door, look at each other, shake their head, and say, I ain't doing that. Neither am I. Meanwhile, the monster behind the scene overall promoting the global warming myth and the Great Reset and all that other happy horseshit, the Rothschild family, holds about 80% of the world's total wealth. Observe, 80% of the world's total wealth, the Rothschild dynasty. They are so rich that this one family has the ability to literally feed, clothe, and settle every man, woman, and child on the planet if they wanted to. But these are people like the Pelosi's and the Schumer's and the Obamas who are only out to benefit themselves. They don't care about the American people. They could care less. Get this. Dick Cheney was secretly behind Dr. Fauci's rise, author reveals. The legacy of Dick Cheney has lived on, and I emphasize about Dick Cheney, he was actually the executive director on the ground in a bunker beneath the White House on 9/11. He was orchestrating events on the ground. Michael Rupert, in his brilliant book, Crossing the Rubicon, already established the role of Dick Cheney from publicly available sources. Well, get this. After 9/11, then Vice President Dick Cheney was fearful of the development of bioweapons by enemies of the United States. That's a false. Reportedly, with the help of Bush, appointed Dr. Anthony Tony the Rat Fauci, director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, at the top of an expensive power infrastructure to deal with biodefense strategy, actually ultimately to turn America on itself by perverting the agencies that were supposed to protect us for our benefit into weapons against us.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
If you think for 1 second that the Capitol will ever treat us fairly, you are lying to yourself. Because we know who they are and what they do. This is what they do, and we must fight back. You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. That time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet, not giving up. Revolution Radio.
Amazon banned my book so you wouldn't learn what really happened at Sandy Hook. It was a FEMA drill presented as mass murder to promote gun control. Then they sued to shut me up, and the Wisconsin courts played along. I have the proof and the law on my side. What I don't have is the money. They want to do to us what they've already done to Canada. Take guns, impose tyranny. It's on the way with Remington's help. First insurance, then registration, then confiscation. I'm asking SCOTUS to stop it. GiveSendGo.com, funding Fetzer. Check it out. This is for all the marbles.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
As a sequel to what I was reporting about Dick Cheney promoting Tony the Rat to a high position in the government, it turns out that the military intervention in Ukraine by Russia was justified in part because the Department of Defense has some 20 or more biolabs doing research there. It may be. This was the actual origin of the of the COVID, even though it was really basically redescribing or redefining the flu, because COVID, if you check it, has the same symptoms as the flu. And if you have a strong case of the flu, you may feel, you know, as though you're in dire, dire straits. But Ukraine really is at the very heart of the New World Order. It turns out that the current head of the Rothschild family has declared that Vladimir Putin is an enemy of the New World Order, and that without Ukraine, the New World Order cannot move forward. Well, think about it. If without Ukraine, the New World Order cannot move forward, then by God, we want Ukraine to be destroyed, to be revised, to be reformed. And Vladimir Putin is a hero to the world. And I want you to understand, I think that's exactly the situation we're in. And when you even have the head of the Rothschild family making that declaration, it's just like Pelosi and the Democrats and Biden declaring Donald Trump to be an enemy of the state here in the United States. What the Rothschilds are telling us is that Vladimir Putin is an enemy of the state of the world. I mean, Putin stands to the New World Order very much as Trump does to the monsters in charge, the corrupt establishment in Washington, D.C. Everyone has to see this perfectly clearly to understand what's going on here. We've never had a situation where a political figure in the United States, particularly a past president, has been demonized, vilified, subjected to these kinds of raids as legal harassment. Never in the history of the nation. Think about it. Why is that going on? And I tell you, anyone who continues to insist there's no difference between the parties is ignoring Donald Trump, because he's a glaring difference. And those of us who lived through the first administration, we all look back and say, well, my God, those were the good old days. We had a surging economy. We had wages rising. We had the lowest wage earners having their wages rise at the highest rate. We had the border secured, which was in part why their wages were rising. We were energy independent. Just think about what all that meant for the United States and its place in the world and for the quality of life of Americans. That's all being destroyed, systematically dismantled by this Biden regime. I mean, you got to really appreciate the profundity of the situation we're in and not mistake your friends for your enemy. Donald Trump is not an enemy of the United States. Donald Trump is our greatest hero, flaws, warts, and all. And I truly do believe if we are allowed to have a midterm, and mind you now, the Democrats are scared shitless too, that there will be that red wave. And when you see these phony reports of Biden surging, I mean, it's all nonsense, just ridiculous beyond belief. Biden isn't surging. Frankly, the major voting blocks for the Democratic Party have abandoned them in droves. Even before the 2020 election, we had Rasmussen reporting 40% of black likely voters were going to vote for Trump because he was doing good for the black people of the United States. He was improving their quality of life, something the Democrats have never done, never done. You know, Lyndon held up passing the Civil Rights Bill, which would pass in 1964, when JFK wanted to move on it, saying the time wasn't right, the time wasn't right. Of course, the time wasn't right. He wanted to take out Jack so he, Lyndon Johnson, as president, could take credit for the Civil Rights Bill. And he boasted that he would have the blacks voting Democrats for the next 100 years. Lyndon Johnson said that. You can find this. Not a secret. And the Democrats, I mean, they have sold out. This is just so awful beyond belief. I, 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 I've long regarded myself as a JFK FDR liberal because I believe in the social safety network, Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, unemployment insurance, workman's compensation. These are programs that have made a difference, actually made a real difference in the lives of Americans, working men and women of this country, who are being pilloried and sacrificed to the woke agenda of the Democrats. Defunding the police? Putting criminals back on the street? Changing, giving kids, parents, teachers the right to have affect gender transitions for little kids without their parents knowing? This is all outrageous. This is a modern Democrat party. Anyone who believes in that has their head where the sun doesn't shine. This is outrageous, immoral, corrupt, undemocratic, un-American. Just stunning. Stunning. We're being told right now that there's a Russian defense collapse in eastern Ukraine, that Kiev's forces continue a large-scale attack on Russian positions in eastern Ukraine. The most intense fighting going on in the sector of Izum and Lyman after the retreat of Russian units. As of now, Russian forces retreated from two-thirds parts of Kupiansk. Reports most of the town may fall into the hands of the pro-Kiev troops. I mean, wow. Really sounds terrible, doesn't it? Summing up the developments, Kiev's forces have already achieved a victory on operational scale and captured the strategic initiative in conflict amid the indecisive posture and acts of free will of the Russian leadership. Their advance continues. The Russian military has not stabilized the front line so far. In recent days, there have been serious offensive action taken by the AFU, Armed Forces of Ukraine, in the Kharkiv direction. Literally, the Ukrainian army has thrown all its forces to repel Russian positions. Massive offensive has already led to the actual capture of these cities. At the same time, such a situation cannot be called a full success of the Ukrainian armed forces. It looks more like a failure of the Russian army. A failure? Listen to this. This is a longtime correspondent of mine, quite a brilliant guy. Gregory. The Kherson Ukrainian counteroffensive has already turned into a trap. It looks as if the counteroffensive in the Kharkov region may also be a trap. I was suspicious from the front, with South Front, that's reporting on it, said how well it was going. Two of the greatest battles ever fought by Russia were in this region. Poltava, 1709, when Peter the Great crushed Charles the 12th of Sweden, and Kursk, 1943, when the Soviets defeated the Wehrmacht, which, of course, was Hitler's army. Both were defensive battles when the invaders attacked into carefully prepared defenses in depth. If the Russians did not put out minefields, that tells me they wanted the Ukrainians to blunder in. The maps put up by South Front show an over-exuberant offensive designed to get more dollars from the U.S. to finance the evacuation of the Ukrainian criminal elite and their U.S. partners to the Caribbean and other choice spots. I may be wrong, but this easy Ukrainian advance doesn't smell right to me. Incidentally, there were four battles of Kharkov in World War III. Just another square on the chessboard of Russian military history. Remember, the Russians ultimately defeated Hitler because the Russian winter, he made an entry into Russia, which is so vast. When the winter came, he couldn't supply the logistics line, and his army was decimated. The Russians, let me tell you, are very good at this. The United States, actually not. But the Russians are very good. And while the Ukrainians are being advised by NATO and American advisors, they can't beat the Russians here. They cannot do that. Here's another aspect of the situation with regard to the EU. Perhaps the only true benefit, this is by Jerry Corsi, he is a good guy. I've known him a long time. of the current Russian energy crisis is to make apparent to an economically motivated citizen population that wishing and hoping will not make the Green New Deal renewable energy dream a reality. Instead of doubling down on wind and solar power, the EU nations are reacting to Moscow's natural gas shutdown with a scramble to find enough biocarbon fuels to keep Europeans warm this winter. On September 5th, Russia announced a shutdown of natural gas to Europe to make repairs to Nord Stream 1 would not resume in full until the collective West lifts sanctions against Moscow over the Ukraine invasion. Since the EU appears determined to punish Moscow, the reality is that Europe may have seen the last of Russian gas for a very long time. The failure of renewables to fill a viable role in the energy grids needs to fuel an advanced industrial economy has forced European energy ministers to do what was once unthinkable, return to nuclear power. German economy minister Robert Habeck won his push to keep nuclear power plants online. On September 5th, Germany responded to Russia's announcement by keeping two nuclear power plants available this winter in a policy shift extending the legislative and regulatory deadlines that climate activists had demanded to phase out nuclear power plants. Russia's announcement also marked the death knell for U.S. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen's encouragement to G7 finance heads this past June that they should cap the global price of Russian natural gas and oil. Since the Ukraine invasion began, Russia has earned 158 billion euros. Now it's exporting gas and oil, with Russia planning to increase oil shipments to Asia to compensate for cutting off oil and natural gas in Europe, all while the counterproductive G7 price cap remains in place. In July, the European Council got member states to agree the only solution to Europe's mounting energy crisis would voluntarily to reduce natural gas demand by 15%. Europe may ultimately have no choice but to acknowledge it is folly to shut down existing hydrocarbon and nuclear energy sources until sufficiently robust, scalable, and reliable, that is to say, not only intermittently available, wind and solar technologies are up and running, and frankly, that'll be never, never, never. You will never have sufficiently robust, scalable, and reliable, not intermittently available wind and solar technologies available. Nonetheless, globalist heads of international non-governmental organizations continue to insist that the ESU must stay on the decarbonizing course to avoid catastrophic climate change. But it's all a myth. It's all, the climate change is a total bullshit. It's predicated on the assumption that the amount of CO2 in the atmosphere affects the temperature of Earth, but that's false. It's not true. You can't have a causal relation if there's no correlation, because a correlation implies, you know, if you have a causal relation, then the presence of the cause brings about the presence of the effect. So they have to be correlated, even if it's a statistical correlation, because the cause is probabilistic. If there's no correlation, there can be no causation. Well, there's no correlation between the amount of CO2 in the atmosphere and the temperature of Earth over 600 million years of Earth's history. They're manipulating us. They're doing weather engineering. They're creating chaotic weather conditions deliberately to falsely. This is like the COVID pandemic. They have vast numbers. They're doing it to deceive us on a massive scale. I mean, these people are very, very smart. We, the American people, are very, very dumb. We are gullible beyond belief. We have no scientific background, no training in critical thinking. We believe what we're told. We're too dependent on authorities that we trust. I mean, we've seen it again and again and again. Ridiculous. On September 6th, Fatah Birol, head of the International Energy Agency, rejected the narrative that the EU energy crisis is a massive setback to tackle global warming. In a Financial Times article, in fact, Birol urged readers not to believe all the negative narratives about the energy crisis. Instead, arguing for continued confidence, the energy crisis in the EU today will help speed up the shift to a cleaner, more secure energy future. In other words, he's promoting the Green New Deal. EU citizens, however, seem more concerned about staying warm in the coming winter than achieving the net zero emission goal set by the United Nations Intergovernmental Panel on Policy Change, where the Rothschilds exercise tremendous influence over the United Nations. In Germany, for the last couple of months, internet searches for benzols and English firewood exploded as worried citizens prepare for imminent natural gas shortages. Deutsche Bank predicts German households will be reduced to chopping wood for heating purposes where possible this summer. Despite the late summer heat in Poland, in what's a grim return of the communist era, dozens of cars and trucks lined up at the Lubelski Wiegel Bodanka to try to obtain coal to tide them over the winter. Around 3.8 million households in Poland rely on coal for heating. They now fear shortages and price hikes. In response, state-owned mines are starting to ration distribution of power plants and trying to sell coal to individual consumers online. In Great Britain, household gas and electric bills may almost double this winter because at the end of August, the UK energy regulator raised by 80% the price restrictions on home energy bills, while the annual energy price cap for a household was £1,971, $2,271 on October 1st. It'll increase to £3,549, $4,090. It's certain now UK households will increase in October from £1,971, $2,271, to £3,549, $4,090 for a typical household. In response, over 100,000 Brits have taken the pledge they will not pay their natural gas and electric bills until the government intervenes with meaningful household energy subsidy payments. How things have changed since July of 2021, when EU Commission President Ursula von der Leyen put the EU on a policy to become climate neutral by 2050. At that time, she declared the fossil fuel economy has reached its limit. But with 60% of British factories in danger as energy bills soar, pursuing the renewable energy utopia has faded in importance in her first speech since taking office. Britain's new Prime Minister, Liz Truss, did nothing to suppress rumors of a £100 billion, £113 billion energy stimulus package to help stem the cost of living crisis. She, by the way, is one who said she's willing to use tactical nukes as the situation calls for it. And with the demise of Queen Elizabeth II and the rise of King Charles, who's mediocrity beyond belief, this prime minister is going to exercise unprecedented influence over British politics, not reined in by the crown, mark my words. Having gone in all green on all on green energy, Europe is facing the ugly reality of renewable fuels. It remains to be seen whether Europeans or Americans, Green New Deal proponents for that matter, will learn from the experience. Of course, he's got it right. I want to open the lines to calls. 540-352-4452. Mitchell's here to field your call. I'll talk more about a few other stories while I await your arrival, but you're welcome to call in about any of these issues. 540-352-4452. Catherine Jean Pierre is in hot water after a social media post from her past came back to bite her. Standing in front of a blood-red backdrop and flanked by two uniformed Marines, President Biden labeled the 74 million Americans who voted for former President Trump the greatest threat facing our nation. Donald Trump and the MAGA Republicans represent an extremism that threatens the very foundation of our republic, Biden said. The reason why MAGA Republicans were a dangerous threat to democracy is because they refused to accept the results of free elections. This is a nation that respects free and fair elections, Biden ran, and we honor the will of the people, he continued, before adding, we do not deny it. But if Joe Biden really believes anyone who questions the result of an election is a threat to democracy, White House Press Secretary Jean Pierre is in deep trouble. During a recent press conference, Fox News correspondent Peter Doocy brought up several tweets from Karine Jean-Pierre's past in which she accused Republicans of stealing multiple elections. Look, I'm not going to go back to where we were or what happened in 2016. We're going to focus on here and now, she told him. I knew this was coming. I was waiting, Peter, when you were going to ask me that question. Doocy was referring to Jean-Pierre accusing Republican Brian Kemp of stealing the Georgia gubernatorial election from left-wing extremist Stacey Abrams in 2018. After Abrams lost the Georgia race in 2018, she claimed Republicans stole the election by using Jim Crow-era voter suppression tactics to help Kemp defeat her by 50,000 votes. In 2020, 2 years after her defeat, Jean-Pierre claimed Brian Kemp stole the gubernatorial election from Georgia's and Stacey Abrams. This isn't the only time she's accused Republicans of stealing an election, though. Look, I'm not going to go back to where we were. In 2020, 2 years after her defeat, she claimed Kemp had stolen the election. Yes, yes. I mean, but we know how much this has happened by the Democrats. My God, we had to endure 4 years. 4 years of Hillary Clinton crying and wailing that Donald Trump had stolen the election, that he was not a legitimate president. I mean, it's just happened again and again and again. Give me a break. This is simply absurd. It's happened so many times and so often. Anyone who really thinks that you're an enemy of the state if you challenge the outcome of an election, then Hillary Clinton, Joe Biden, and the whole rest of them who have been nonstop in denying the legitimacy of Trump's election, deserve to be qualified as enemies of the state. But it's absurd. You have the right to protest, especially when there's massive evidence of it. Just especially when there's massive evidence thereof. Absolutely stunning. Stop. Mitchell, let me invite your thoughts too here, by the way, on any of these issues. It's absolutely stunning what's been going on here, and especially, say, your assessment about these raids on all these Trump supporters, these subpoenas going out, and what appears to be the case, namely, they're going to try to use that obscure provision of the 14th Amendment, which is an amendment generally recognized to insist that equal justice under law is the case for all states. In other words, they should be applying equitable, similar procedures, which is actually a foundation for my appeal to the U.S. Supreme Court, to wit, that the summary judgment process in the United States is askew with that in other states, and it thereby violates the 14th Amendment by denying the right to a trial by jury under the 7th Amendment. And if Mitchell is unavailable, let me return to this. Justice Department appeals order to appoint special master threatens judge to shop for friendly court, demands no party outside the Department of Justice should have the right to see or review their identified classified documents. Let me just, we'll be right back. Call in.
Message.
would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Revolution Radio every Wednesday 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes. That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building. Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Let me continue then, if Mitchell's unavailable, as he appears to be, with the Justice Department appealing the order to appoint a special master. Here we get a comprehensively corrupt and politically motivated U.S. Justice Department has appealed the part of Judge Cannon's previous order appointing a special master with authority to review documents the FBI collected at Mar-a-Lago last month. The corrupt and politically motivated lawfare prosecutors state they have serious concerns about handing government secrets to a third party and will not allow it. In other words, they're covering their ass. This is so fraudulent. In essence, the DOJ, NSD, an agency within the Justice Department created by Eric Holder, and Eric Holder, let me tell you, is now responsible for Fast and Furious getting all these guns into the hands of drug cartels in Mexico, but for orchestrating this Sandy Hook event, is claiming no one outside the DOJ NSD should be allowed to review the documents they've defined as national security interests. Main Justice really, really doesn't want anyone seeing what the DOJ, NSDR defining thereby. The DOJ lawyers begin by telling the judge she must respond to them on their timeline, or else they will go to the 11th Circuit Court of Appeals and have them block a ruling. Do as we say or else. This is really very troubling. If the court does not grant a stay by Thursday, September 15th, that's a couple days hence, the government intends to seek relief from the 11th Circuit. Without a stay, the government and the public will suffer irreparable harm. In recognition of the vital importance of assessing potential danger to our national security and intelligence interests. This is just, I'm reading now from the actual submission by the court, by the Department of Justice. This is just stunning stuff. Finally, the court order would irreparably harm the government and public by unnecessarily requiring the government to share highly classified material with a special master. But you got to understand, the special masters are selected because they have the authority to do this, because they're qualified to do it, because they're confident. They're competent sources for this responsibility. I mean, this is just undermining the rule of law. This is the Department of Justice sabotaging the laws of the United States. If the DOJ is forced to let an independent arbiter look at what they are doing, irreparable harm may ensue, they insist. When the agency in power to seize documents that carry evidence of the corruption within the agency, by weaponizing tactical lawfare to keep evidence of their corrupt activities from the public, this is what happens exactly. Our Justice Department was politically weaponized by Barack Obama and Eric Holder. The aftermath of their compromise has collapsed the credibility and authority of the institution. However, most people haven't admitted it yet. Perhaps Judge Cannon will. Very significant. Very significant. Here is a comment about it. Merrick Garland's appeal will fail because he wants the justices to believe the classified documents Donald Trump possessed at Mar-a-Lago were such a threat to our national security, yet he did nothing for over a full year. Sorry, Garland. Time is still not of the essence, and Judge Eileen Cannon should be afforded every opportunity to resolve all claims, teaching every document, with the help of a neutral court-appointed special master. Absolutely correct. Meanwhile, and many are going to find this equally troubling on a very different front, leaked video suggests Israeli health officials covered up serious safety problems with a Pfizer COVID vax. We're talking now about Israel, the medical authorities in Israel covering up what experience they actually had. A leaked video reveals researchers in June shared data with the Israeli Ministry of Health showing serious and long-term side effects associated with Pfizer's COVID vax. But Israeli health officials told the public in an August report, now this is months later, that serious side effects were rare and short-term, which we know is absolutely false. A leaked video recording reveals researchers in June shared data with the Israeli Ministry of Health showing serious long-term side effects associated with Pfizer's COVID vax. However, the MOH did not disclose their findings to the expert committee that met later that month to decide on recommending the vax for children under five, with leaders of Israel's vaccine booster program. Additionally, the MOH on August 2nd issued a report on adverse effects following the Pfizer vax from December 9, 2021 to May 31, 2022, that contradicted the data presented during the early June meeting. In fact, the report completely contradicts what was said in the discussion, said Rezav Levy, PhD, a professor at MIT and member of the Israeli Public Emergency Council for the COVID crisis. Yaffa Shiraz, PhD, health communication and pharmaceutical company public relations strategy researcher at Reichman University in Herzliya, Israel, translated the June meeting from Hebrew into English. English translation shows the research team warned Ministry of Health officials they should think carefully about how to present the researchers' findings to the public because they pose a potential legal risk, as the findings contradict MOH claims that serious side effects are rare and short-term. Maybe that's why they decided to circumvent the legal risks. They just didn't report them at all. The English translation shows the research team warned MOH officials they should think carefully about how to present the researchers' findings to the public because they posed a potential legal risk, as the findings contradicted MOH claims that serious side effects are rare and short-term. Shiraz tweeted on September 1st an excerpt from the recorded meeting in which a research team warned MOH seniors they'd have to think about the legal ramifications of the team's findings. Here's a tweet from Rafa Shiraz. In a leaked video, a research team commissioned by the Israeli MOH warns, "We'll have to think medical legal, how to present our findings to avoid lawsuits. Why? Because of quite a few side effects. We said, okay, it exists and reports exist, but still get vaccinated." According to the video recording, the researchers informed MOH officials about the many reports of serious and long-term side effects of the Pfizer, including side effects Pfizer did not list on the patient information leaflet, such as digestive side effects, especially abdominal pain in children and back pain. Additionally, Levy told, on a free text part of the form where patients were allowed to report whatever they wanted, the researchers observed and got many, many reports of neurological side effects, some not currently listed by Pfizer as side effects of the vax. Researchers also noticed many cases of what Levy called the re-challenge phenomenon, or the recurrence of worsening of a side effect following repeated doses of the vax, which the researchers said indicated there was most likely a causal link between the vaccine and many side effects. The research team repeatedly stressed during the discussion, Shiraz said, in her translation and summary in English, that their findings indicate that, contrary to what we were told so far, in many cases, serious adverse effects, events are long-term, lasting weeks, months, a year, even more in some cases, ongoing. So the side effects still lasted when the study was over. The side effects include menstrual irregularities and various neurological side effects, muscle skeletal injuries, gastrointestinal problems, and kidney and urinary system adverse effects. According to Levy's review of the meeting footage, the researchers expressed a sentiment of concern and felt their conscience bothered them by the reality of their findings. The researchers told the MOH officials their findings contradicted MOH prior messaging that the vaccine was safe and side effects were both rare and short-lasting. In 50% of the reports in which a duration was specified by the individual, the duration was over 6 months. Moreover, in 65% of the neurological cases mentioning a duration, the individuals reported their symptoms were ongoing. Now it turns out the reality is not what the narrative was promoting. The side effects are long-term and serious. The research team told the MOH officials, "You have to think very, very carefully about how you communicate this to the public because you may open yourself to legal lawsuits and liability issues because what you promoted is, in fact, not the reality and what we see in the reports." Despite the importance of this discussion, Dr. Sharon Alroy Priest, head of public health services at MOH, the person who signed the contract with Pfizer, was not present during the meeting. The researchers repeatedly asked MOH officials to make sure Dr. Alroy Priest saw their findings. She knew what was coming. She knew what they were going to present. She was not there to preserve plausible deniability that she didn't know about it. This is a classic example thereof. The MOH commissioned the Shamer Medical Center, their team of researchers with experience in pharmacovigilance, to analyze the data from the adverse effects reporting system launched in December of 2021. Although Israel began its COVID-19 vax campaign in 2020, it did not have an adverse effect reporting system until the end of 2021. Steve Kirsch, executive director of the Vaccine Safety Research Foundation, commented on the news in a September 2nd Substack post. Why didn't they release the original presentation made by the safety team? There needs to be an investigation ASAP into what happened. But the head of MOH, Zsolt Horowitz, isn't calling for one. The precautionary principle of medicine now demands an immediate halt of the COVID vaccination program. And what he means by that is the Hippocratic Oath that declares, for all physicians first, do no harm. Kirschel also commented on the lack of media coverage of the Israeli researchers' findings. Dr. Sharon Elroy Pris, the health ministry's head of public services and a top COVID advisor to the Israeli government, issued no public statement. Leaders of our trusted institutions all over the world said absolutely nothing after the news broke on August 20, 2022. This suggests there is widespread corruption in the medical community, government agencies, among public health officials, the mainstream media, and social media companies worldwide. They will not acknowledge any event that goes against the mainstream narrative. This is a level of corruption that is unprecedented. The atrocities here are clear-cut. Everyone should be speaking out and calling for a full investigation and fully evaluating the safety data collected by the Israeli government. Here, by the way, is a statement from Dr. Naomi Wolf, who's been very outspoken. Wonderful.
Smoking gun, you can never show cause effect, but your volunteers have been hammering the evidence with a special focus on babies and children. And Amy Kelly, our project director, posted a report which has gone quite viral for us. 78,000 people watched her video about this. It's up on my Substack. It's up on her Substack. It's up on Daily Clout, which shows that these injections hurt. I mean, I just have to use grown-up language. I'm sorry, everyone. Hurt the testes and hurt the parts of the testes that develop the masculinity, the secondary sex characteristics of little boys and baby boys and teenage boys. So they literally harm the chances of your little boy child to grow up normally as a male human adult. So it's not just the suppression of the sperm count and the sperm motility, which, you know, Andrology Journal reported, which we knew. It's something even more insidious, that the lipid nanoparticles especially, which pass every membrane in the human body, pass into the testes and inflame the epididymis and affect the cells that go to secondary sex characteristics, actual human masculinity. So it's literally an experiment on the gender development of little boys. So this has gone viral, and I can't say there's a cause and effect, but that's a pretty tough thing to prove, and we proved it. And, you know, suddenly Britain's saying, well, maybe we won't inject the little boys and harm their testes.
Sorry. I can't tell the audience how big a deal this is. Work of this audience and Amy Kelly and Daily Clout and particularly Naomi Wolf. Naomi, just hang on one second because I want to make sure everybody can get to your platform. Mike Lindell, we're going to talk about the machines next and what they're doing about it in the war room.
Now, that was Steve Bannon doing a commendable job getting Naomi Wolf on. And, of course, this is something they don't want the public to know. Namely, it's affecting the reproductive capabilities of children. So if your kids get the vax, they may be unable to reproduce. They may not even grow up as normal young men and young women. Meanwhile, 8 facts explain why the left is terrified of my son Hunter. An hilarious, feverishly exciting film about the current president of the United States and the smartest man he's ever known. I'm not just singing its praise, and this is coming from Alexander Marlowe. I'm not just singing its praise because this is the first film distributed by Breitbart In fact, it's the inverse. We are distributing this film because, in large part, because it's hilarious and feverishly exciting. Of all the striking qualities of the film, Robert Davi's slick direction, the talented cast, the timely election season release, a snappy script, what makes it truly important is a meticulous attention paid to detail by director Davi and writer Brian Godawa to the historic details of Hunter and Joe Biden's lives. Joe Biden once said, "We choose truth over facts." But Breitbart News, we say, why not have both? In order to fully appreciate the facts in My Son Hunter, we highly recommend you read these true stories from Biden's scandal lore. My Son Hunter is available at MySonHunter.com today, September 7th. It's already available for streaming and downloading at MySonHunter.com. Here are the reasons. First, the Biden Five, the definitive breakdown of one of America's most corrupt families. The Biden Five is a term referencing the members of the Biden family whose apparently corrupt operation centered around the big guy himself. As Peter Schweitzer, a senior contributor and Government Accountability Institute president, has observed, Joe Biden is a planet around which the moons of his family travel. Some highlights or lowlights? Hunter Biden. Before his father became vice president, Hunter was a lobbyist for online gambling companies in Europe. Once his father became VP, he quickly became flush with foreign capital, acquiring $1 billion in financing from a Chinese state-run bank, finding himself on the board of a Chinese investment firm, netting him 10% equity in the company. Needless to say, he lacked experience in China or any qualification to hold such a board seat, aside from the only criterion that mattered, his last name was Biden. Since then, Hunter and Joe have become wrapped in a litany of other personal and legal scandals, though Joe and his admin have maintained its messaging that there's a firewall between them. Frank Biden. Frank underwent a sudden professional switch from real estate to renewable energy once his brother took over the vice presidency. He set up companies in Costa Rica and Jamaica shortly thereafter, became involved in deals that were not only renewable energy related and located in the aforementioned localities, but were funded by taxpayer-backed loans. One such company also developed real estate for charter schools, which received grants from the Department of Education. James Biden. Joe's younger brother, James, working as executive vice president of Hillstone International, a company that received $1.5 billion in government contracts during the Obama years, including one to build 100,000 homes in Iraq. The president of the company, Kevin Justice, even attended a White House meeting in 2010 with Michelle Smith, a liaison between global government officials and business executives and top aides to Joe Biden as vice president, Valerie Biden. Joe Biden's sister had managed his senatorial campaigns in Delaware, later a benefactor of political donation made to Biden's presidential campaign. She raked in millions. The money was sent to Valerie's communication firm, Citizen for Biden and Biden for President Corp. Schweitzer was keen to note Joe Biden likely needed little help running for a shoo-in safe Senate seat, yet he made certain to involve family anyway, ensuring they bagged cash in the process. Ashley Biden. Joe helped the husband of his daughter Ashley, Howard Krein, launch a healthcare company, Startup Health, in 2011. The big guy got Karina sit-down with President Obama mere weeks after the company's launch. The meeting ultimately garnered Crane a coveted invite to Healthcare Data Palooza, a prestigious joint healthcare summit between public and private sectors. Later, Crane went on to advise the Biden campaign on his policies regarding COVID. Meanwhile, Startup had investments in companies developing goods and services related to treatment for the virus. Second, Hunter committed a possible felony while buying a handgun and needed the Secret Service to bail it out. Third, White House refused to provide transparency on Hunter Biden's artwork. Fourth, Treasury filings confirmed concerns about Hunter Biden's foreign deals. Fifth, Hunter Biden was given a 2.8-carat diamond by a now-jailed Chinese businessman. Sixth, Hunter Biden took at least 23 flights through Joint Base Andrews, home of Air Force One and Two. Seven, senior DOJ official confirms Hunter Biden investigation. I'm not talking about any ongoing investigation. Let me expand on this. During a hearing with Representative Matt Gaetz of Florida, the Assistant Attorney General of the Department of Justice, Matthew Olson, inadvertently indicated there was an ongoing investigation into Hunter. During a barrage of questions into the various Hunter scandals that he refused to answer, he let slip the fact during a classified hearing with Congress. During the course of the hearing, Gaetz made a point to read out many of the allegations against Hunter and the sources. The strategy seemed to work. As a senior DOJ official reportedly said, I'm not going to talk about any ongoing investigation when asked about Hunter Biden. Eight, Twitter censors New York Post bombshell stories about Hunter Biden. Back when Joe Biden was still presidential candidate, Twitter censored multiple New York Post articles that detailed important information about Hunter, including his laptop from hell. The stories. Senate committee investigating alleged Hunter Biden Drive smoking gun email on October 14, 2020, and emails reveal how Hunter Biden tried to cash in big on behalf of family with Chinese firm on October 15, 2020. Both detail email revelation of Hunter's overseas dealing and Joe Biden potential involvement. Both were flagged by Twitter for being harmful, and the media framed them as Russian disinformation. The reporter on the stories, Emma Jo Morris, has since joined Breitbart as politics editor. Fast forward a year and a half later, even the New York Times acknowledged that the stories were accurate. My Son Hunter stars Lawrence Fox from Victoria, Inspector Lewis, a professor in The Mad Men as Hunter Biden, Gina Carano, the Mandalorian Deadpool heist as a Secret Service agent, and John James of Dynasty as Joe Biden. My Son Hunter is available now for download and streaming. Watch a trailer, which has already garnered over 4.5 million cross-platform views on social media. Meanwhile, get this. EU imploding, pro-Biden PSYOP continues, COVID-19 killer clots, Greg Hunter reporting. You're not seeing this in the reporting, but Europe is imploding in every possible way. The only thing that will stop the unfolding crash is to stop the Ukraine war and stop it now. There are no signs that's going to happen. There are plenty of signs. Europe's coming monstrous crash will drag the globe into the greatest depression in history. Inflation is skyrocketing. The European Central Bank is coming to the rescue by raising interest rates 0.75%. Talk about throwing a drowning man an anchor. That's what raising interest is. The pro-Biden PSYOP is in full swing. It needs to be because the real numbers of his approval are around 12%. I said the real numbers, not the fake polling showing him surging as inflation continues to roar. It makes no sense that Biden's official approval rating, according to the propaganda media, was 42% last month, and now he's beating Trump in a 2024 matchup by 6 points. 48% for Biden and only 42% for Trump. On August 21st, NBC News slipped up and showed a poll where 74% think the country's on the wrong track. Fake news, fake polls abound in the Biden PSYOP. Pay attention. Catch on. Don't let yourself be blamed.
Revolution Radio.
Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven, Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
And that's right here, Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyal? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty! Oh, give me!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence and